Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namela Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvasi Sasunyavari Pastyatyalte Satarini Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gauravati Vin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Again, we'd like to thank Maharaj for such a deep and very realized talk on Mayapur Dham and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Radhanath Maharaj has asked me to speak a little bit. What else can I say about this personality? Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is a very integral part of all our lives, both from the perspective of our movement, having been the person that actually discovered Lord Chaitanya's birthplace and was a visionary in predicting how Lord Chaitanya's movement would spread throughout the entire world. Of course, it's mentioned from this island here that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was looking in the direction of Navadvip, Mayapur, and he had that vision where he saw persons from all races, the five races, brown, black, red, yellow, white race, chanting and dancing and holding arms and singing Jai Satchinandana, Jai Satchinandana, Jai Satchinandana. And he also predicted that someday there will be a great personality who will come and take Lord Chaitanya's teachings and spread it everywhere. And of course we know that was Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who took the message of Lord Chaitanya as he had heard it from his spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Actually, the vision carried from Bhakti Vinod and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati very much, preaching everywhere in India. But Bhakti Siddhanta's vision was not just India. He had the world vision. And he established 64 mosques throughout India and Lord Chaitanya's footprints. In at least, I believe, over 29, 30 different places throughout India. And he commissioned his leading sannyasis to go abroad and to preach, and some did. But with very little success, many of them thought it was too difficult to preach to Western people. But Prabhupada, he was willing to undergo whatever difficulty because he had such deep faith that if he simply spread the glories of the holy name, then all success would be there. Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, whose bhajan kutir we have in the rear, he actually glorified Srila Prabhupada. And he said, because A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, because he had complete faith in the holy name and because he spread the holy name everywhere, then this was the success of the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world. And you can see wherever there is the chanting and the dancing and the congregational glorification of the Lord by chanting His holy name, such spiritual energy is present, such mercy is present. And that's the success, really, of our movement, to take this message and to preach it through kirtan, through philosophy, and through our own personal examples, and through arranging different types of ways that people can come and take advantage and get association. But we see whenever there is kirtan, all problems dissolve, all differences dissolve, all disagreements seem to become, they vanish. Because the kirtan of the holy name is the Lord's mercy, descends in such a powerful way that it immediately awakens within the heart, within the soul, the natural joyous nature. We see it even in Western countries. Sometimes we go on Harinam Sankirtan, and we go to sometimes the places where people are quite degraded. One of the things is now tomorrow is Christmas in the Western world, and people will be celebrating this holiday. But after Christmas, there's New Year's. Of course, the New Year's here is on a different date, but in Western society, it's January 1st is the New Year's celebration. People get quite involved in different types of intoxicating parties. And devotees in America, especially, we go out on Harinam Sankirtan at 12 o'clock at night on New Year's, because that's when the time everyone else is in the streets and having their parties. And it's amazing, because a lot of times, not a lot of times, all the times, they join our Harinam. They say, this is the real party. Because, I mean, we're actually enjoying chanting and dancing. They have to get intoxicated in order to, you know, somehow or other be able to engage in some kind of party atmosphere. In fact, all their parties are accompanied by forms of intoxication. But the devotees are already intoxicated on the holy name, and when the holy name is chanted and dancing is there, people come. And I can remember in these New Year's Eve programs, we go where these people are, and they would immediately join the Harinam Sankirtan. And this is not something new. Even Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya was walking one day, he passed one house, and there were some drunkards in there. So he wanted to go in and give his mercy to the drunkards. When he started to go in, and Srivas Thakur immediately stopped him, he said, "No, my lord, if you go in there, what will happen? People will criticize, and people will blaspheme you, and I cannot bear this. I'll throw myself in the Ganges." So the Lord, feeling compassion for Srivas, decided not to go in. But somehow or other, the drunkards, they came out, and they said, "Oh, there is Nimai Pandit. He always does nice singing and dancing." So they came out and they started to chant and they started to dance in their own drunken way. And this way Lord Chaitanya inspired the drunkards to dance. He got everyone to dance, the animals, the drunkards, even the Westerners in places like remote parts of the world such as America. Radhanath Maharaj was saying the other day how, you know, Srila Prabhupada went to Gainesville, Florida. He was last night, he was saying that, you know, here we are in Gainesville, Florida, so far away from Mayapur Dham. We're in this very remote place in the world. But people in America are thinking, you know, this is the place. So, really, everything begins here, because this is where Lord Chaitanya came, this is where Lord Krishna came, this is where the powerful manifestations and the direct incarnations of the Lord have come. So everything starts from here. This is the center of the world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1896, which was the same year Srila Prabhupada took birth on this planet, he had compiled one book on the teachings and precepts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he sent that book to various universities throughout the world. At first, devotees in the ISKCON society were thinking that this book was only in Canada, because devotees had gone, we had our library party, and devotees would go and preach in different libraries and establish Prabhupada's books in the libraries. They would put full sets of Prabhupada's books in libraries. It was called the library party, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's, Satsrup Maharaj, and many other wonderful devotees were traveling throughout the world, and they had discovered this one book, Teachings of Precepts, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur of Lord Chaitanya in McGill University. And they showed it to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur had sent this book. But then later on we discovered this book was sent through many, many universities, not just McGill University in Canada, but many, many universities throughout the world. And it's quite significant because the same year that the teachings and precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to different places in the world, the person who would take the teachings and precepts everywhere in the world appeared, and that was Srila Prabhupada. So we can see how Srila Prabhupada's appearance in the world is very significant in terms of how the Lord was arranging everything for Lord Chaitanya's movement to spread throughout the world. And to come to that point was a long, hard struggle, which is very much accredited to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was here, after he had became more and more involved with Lord Chaitanya's movement, he took up the mission of establishing Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Before then, for the last 300 years, practically, maybe 200 years, 200, 250 years, it says that Lord Chaitanya's real teachings had been obscured by different asampradayas, those who were saying they were followers of Lord Chaitanya, owls, vowels, Sakibeti, Jat Goswamis, Nityananda Vamsas, Gauranga Nagaris. Anytime the Lord comes, religious principles flourish. Anytime the Lord's pure representatives come, religious principles flourish. But when they leave, then it's a real struggle for the followers to maintain the actual standard of true religious principles and to keep them principles and to propagate those principles. And that's what happened after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. After about 100 years, his teachings became more and more usurped by persons who are really not true followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur realized this, and it was his efforts, his struggles, his determination to again reestablish the true teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is why we're all here today. We owe everything, really, to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because, that's actually, Srila Prabhupada actually said that, we owe everything to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because, really, by his life, his example, his teachings, everything, it was the main pillar for the foundation of bringing Lord Chaitanya's movement throughout the world. And it wasn't an easy struggle. If you read the history, you find it was very, very difficult. And of course, after some time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was concerned because he didn't see anyone who can continue to preach and to fight against what we say, sahajiya tendencies, smarta tendencies, those tendencies which people develop wherein they claim to be followers, but at the same time they have another agenda. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur really didn't see anyone besides himself. But then he prayed. He prayed. He said, "My dear Lord, please send someone who can assist me in this mission." And of course, that prayer was answered by the Supreme Lord. And that was Bimala Prasad or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who was a tremendous, powerful acharya. In fact, we say he is a ray of Vishnu. In that statement that describes his characters and qualities, we say the ray of Vishnu means he came directly on behalf of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers, directly from the spiritual world, especially on a special entourage of the Supreme Lord, to again continue the fight to reestablish. And the fight goes on today. And the fight continues on today. As we are being attacked, both within and without, from Maya, and from tendencies to minimize Srila Prabhupada's position, tendencies to minimize the importance of practicing as Srila Prabhupada gave us. Sometimes people say, this is the 21st century, this is not the 1970s. We don't have to follow so strictly. We can, introduce other ideas for sense gratification. Sometimes people think, it's too hard to follow the four regulative principles. Maybe we should make it a little bit easier, especially for grihasthas. They say like that, that in grihastha life, it's not possible to follow the four regulative principles. Just too much temptation, too much this close association. And therefore, we should be practical. But change, change, change. Prabhupada says, when you have milk, you add a little water, and then you add a little more water, and then you add a little more water. And after a while, what do you have? You have water. So this is fashionable. The idea to accommodate different types, because they say Prabhupada, he established a house where the whole world can live in. But it's not that we have to redesign the house to suit the whole world's desire for proper decorations within the house. The house has already been established. And the standard is there. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, and develop the qualities of a Vaishnava. Nothing less than that. So the fight continues. Because Maya is very strong. And Maya is always trying to convince us that we should be less strict. As Srila Jayapataka Maharaj was saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an ideal householder. Ideal means that he took care of his family, he took care of his responsibilities as a family man. And he had a big family. Some say 14 children, others say 10 children. Whatever it is, it's a huge family. I mean, I don't know about in India, but in Western countries, Prabhupada was talking to one lady, and she's an Indian lady living in New York, and she had a grown-up son who was like in his late 20s, 30s. Prabhupada said, why don't you get your son married? She was saying, it's a good idea if he can support a wife. Prabhupada was thinking, supporting a wife is so hard. Well, nowadays, people want to, you know, live on very high standards. And so, but still, we have to maintain the principles. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was a responsible magistrate. Not only responsible, so responsible that the British government actually considered him the best within their group of magistrates. He had the vision where he could look at someone and immediately he can tell whether that person was innocent or guilty. Immediately. He wouldn't have to sit there and hear the whole case and listen to all the discussions from both sides. He could simply see the person, and he could immediately tell that this person was innocent or guilty. He had that vision. He had that power. He was a Vaishnava. So what would take other magistrates hours to deal with, he would do it in 10 minutes, a short period of time. And because of that, actually the British government really wanted to assist him in his service. So you see there's like a railway track that runs past this house here. In fact, we're getting a little bit... No, that's the trucks. But there is a railway that's still active, that runs in this area. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would take the train. So in order to... merciful to his devotees, he likes to take you into this pastime a little deeper. What I can't explain in my words, you can actually experience. But the British government actually, they gave him his own railway car. They added it onto the train, so he had his own car to facilitate his comfort and his ride to and from his work. There's one story, it's quite an interesting story, probably many of you have heard it. And that is, there was one so-called incarnation of God. Prabhupada said, every day in America there's another incarnation of God coming to liberate the Americans. I remember one day I was out doing sankirtan in one parking lot, and I was preaching to this one lady, and she got me confused with another religious movement. She said, "Oh, I know, you're from that group in Oregon." There's that, what is his name again? Rajneesh. I said, no, that's not me. And she said, oh. And she was really kind of like thinking that this was a wonderful movement. And I said, I had to really take some time to divest myself and divert myself from, because their sannyasis are a little bit different than our sannyasis. They follow no regulative principles. There's a philosophy. Once you become sannyasi, you can do anything you want because you're a sannyasi. Huh? You made it. So why? No rules, no regulations. Actually, in the spiritual world, there's no sannyasis because there's nothing to renounce. But in the spiritual world, there's grihasthas. There's actually grihasthas in the spiritual world, but in the material world, there's no sannyasis in the spiritual world.
I was about ready to tell one story, but now you want to speak? You sure?
Okay, Maharaj is gonna continue to allow me to give you pain. I was thinking of this one story, and there was this so-called incarnation. His name was Vishikashena, and he claimed to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu, and he actually became popular amongst many of the local population because he advocated ousting the British from India. So he built his movement a lot on the politics of removing the British. But at the same time, he claimed he was Mahavishnu, or an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And you know these incarnations, or claims to be incarnations. They act in all kinds of irresponsible and illicit ways. So the news got back to Bhakti Vinod Thakur and to the British government that he was going to villages and having all kinds of illicit activities with young girls, imitating the mood of Lord Shri Krishna in Vrindavan. Of course, it's not even imitation of Krishna's Leela. No one can imitate Krishna's Leela because Krishna's Leela is transcendental. It has nothing to do with anything mundane. But where they get this idea that mundane activities is the same as Krishna's Leela is another form of cheating. And people don't know. So people accept. People are innocent. So someone has some powers. And he had some powers. He could actually heal people. He had the power of healing. That he would touch someone and they would be cured of whatever disease they had. And people think, oh, this is God, or some incarnation of God. This is all cheap. It's only some extra material powers. Through mystic meditation, one can develop these powers also. So the British were quite concerned because not only was he doing this, but he was also advocating overthrowing the British. And he was actually gaining a lot of support in different areas. So they sent Bhakti Vinod Thakur to investigate. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, after some time, approached this person. And in a very, we say, respectful way, he approached him. And he said, actually, you should go to Jagannath Puri, because actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is there in his form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you should actually give up this idea and worship the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord actually is here. His name is Jagannath, and he resides in Puri. And this person He said, yes, that is, I am also there, and I'm also here. That is me in the form of wood, but I'm here also in this form, in so many words. He said that him and Jagannath were non-different. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard that, then he became very, very, this is Kreta Bhakta, the anger of a Vaishnav. When they hear blasphemy against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Lord's devotees. So he had the power of the British behind him. So he arrested him and put this man in jail. But then what happened? And this person had some mystic power. And he caused Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family and Bhaktivinoda Thakur to become afflicted with a very, very high fever. Practically all of his family members, including his wife, were becoming very, very sick, and even Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this went on for some days. After some time, his family members were really, really, really concerned. He said, you should release this person. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we better if we all die than let this rascal go. He's simply a cheater. So after some time, some person who knew a little bit about this Vishikashena, he said, he actually, his power is in his hair. So you should give him a haircut. Because when you get a haircut, you become gentle. Part of shaving up. That's the real initiation. So, he commissioned one barber, and they went in there, and with great efforts, they held Vishikashena down and gave him a haircut. And after a few days, actually, this man became so distraught, having lost all his mystic powers, and he became just like an ordinary person. And then after a while, it was too much for him to bear, he actually died. So we can see from the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur how he fought through his writings, through his daily activities, through directly encountering all kinds of pretentiousness, all kinds of sahajiism, all kinds of so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya, who are simply giving something else. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very, very, very powerful part, not part, he is actually the pillar of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Srila Prabhupada said, it is by his efforts that this movement has spread, by his desire, this movement has spread throughout the world. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to take much example from his life, especially his grihastha life, the ideal grihastha, as Srila Shaipataka Maharaj explained in his family life, in his life as preaching, in his life as responsibility, in his work, everything. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, in our movement, we look to Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the ideal example for our grihasthas. And Prabhupada used one term that I had come across in my readings. He refers to grihasthas as grihastha paramahansa. Have you ever come across that term, grihastha paramahansa? It's mentioned in Prabhupada's writings. It refers to Bhaktivinoda Thakur as grihastha paramahansa. And as Srila Jayabhataka Maharaj was explaining, when he went to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to take sannyas, he said, you're already sannyasi. You're doing more than the work of the sannyasi. Every aspect of your life, you engage nicely in spreading Krishna consciousness. In Srimad Bhagavatam, In the third canto, I believe it's 21st chapter, Prabhupada writes one very powerful purport where he explains that those who have taken initiation from those grihasthas who have taken initiation from a sannyasi should make their grihastha life perfect by preaching, inviting devotees to their homes, holding programs, and in some way be an instrument to spread Krishna consciousness. And this will please the previous acharyas, this will please Srila Prabhupada, this will please Srila Radhanath Maharaj. He is guiding all of us in a mood of preaching. Maharaj's example as a sannyasi is one who is completely giving himself to Lord Chaitanya's movement and to the service of every living entity on all levels. And he also is asking us to come forward more and more and be an example of compassion, of preaching, of taking whatever we can do to give others this Krishna conscious movement. Because really, this is the key to our spiritual advancement. As we give, we also get. We try to take, it's very hard to get anything, because really, you don't know what you need. Krishna knows what you need. As we give Krishna consciousness, Krishna gives us the intelligence, he gives us the association, he gives us the guidance to take care of whatever else we may need in our life to make our life complete. Sri Guru Charana Padma. I'm sorry, not there. Sri Guru Charana Rati, Esai Uttamogati, Ye Prasade Purve Sarva As. That verse, that line explains by Krishna consciousness, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. We have that faith. And if we're preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to others, Krishna not only takes care, he goes out of his way to take care. Because that's his desire, to see all living entities get into mercy more and more. So I think I spoke long enough. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki, Gaura Premanande.